This is Financial Home Stretch with David Pilatus from Senior Advantage. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of Financial Home Stretch is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's Financial Home Stretch.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Financial Home Stretch. I am your host, David Pilatus. I'm here with my co-host, Tony Shore. Tony, how are we doing this afternoon?
I am great. Thanks for asking, Dave. Super Dave Pilatus. I love calling you Super Dave.
Well, in fact, we were just before we hit record here today on this program, we were talking about some of the shows from our past, and and Super Dave Osborne was one of those. But
The Super Dave Osborne. I love Super Dave Osborne. I don't know if all our listeners remember who he was. He was kind of a stuntman and comedian combined, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was, and you know, he died, I think, in every one of his stunts, but he, for whatever reason, he was resurrected and came back. Is that what you remember?
Yeah. I do remember that. I remember him on Letterman so many times, Dave Osborne, and he was hilarious. Like, it'd show him getting shot out of a cannon. And
yes, that was a lot of fun. Hey, so here's a question for you. Have you ever said, you know, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself?
Not since breakfast. I haven't said that. Yeah. But I did say that this morning. Yes, I say that as I get older, I say it every day. It's like one of those things, right?
We all say that, right?
I mean, it's like hindsight's 20. Man, I wish I had started saving when I was 21. Man, I wish I had change my diet, my habits earlier on, right?
Yeah. I wished I'd have broke up with Pam, you know, and anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you think about all those if I could have, would have, should have. And you know what? I don't think any of us believe that. But having said that, today's topic is an interesting one. It's it actually comes from an article in Kiplage, six strategies moves to keep your wealth in retirement and to continue to grow it.
Yeah, the Kiplinger article.
Yeah, that's the Kiplinger. Sorry. Yeah. But and then if we have time, we'll talk about five of the out of box retirement moves that were also included in there. I mean, we'll just see if we get time. But that was the reason why I segued us with, you know, have you ever said if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. And that's what's interesting is that we are living longer.
Yes. People are spending longer and longer in retirement because they're living longer, right?
Well, it used to be, you know, hey, I'm going to retire and, you know, maybe I've got 10, 15 good years. And now we're living decades in retirement. And what's I think has a lot of us concerned is that, well, how long did I plan for retirement? And I guess the point of today's episode is that your money should continue to work for you. You should continue to grow it in retirement. And so we're going to talk about some of those strategies here today.
That's good. A lot of people don't realize they can keep building wealth during retirement. There are ways to do it. And you're going to talk about a few things that the wealthy swear by, retirement moves. What's one of the first things?
Well, so the first is, you know, I think we're in the assumption, hey, when I retire, you know, I need to be a little more conservative. But I'm going to tell you that the first strategy in retirement is to be less conservative with your investments. I know that some people will feel differently because, you know, the feeling is that, hey, I'm retired. This money's got to last as long as I do. I need to be more conservative. And in truth, if you want it to last as long as you do, you need to continue to go down that same road, if you will, that got you there. And that is you know, look at growing your money.
Yeah. You know? So you need to leave some in growth. If you're going to spend 30 years in retirement, that's a long time. That's time enough to leave money in the market, isn't it?
Well, it is. And that's, you know, 30 years. Can you imagine, you know, if you give me 30 years, you know, if with regular investing I've done for the previous, you know, 50. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
We should do really well.
Yeah, it's a third of your life, really, for a lot of people. Retirement's going to be a third of your life. So you don't want to abandon all the savings habits that you built up, right?
No. And that's why I'm going to take, let's say, the three bucket approach. Just imagine, if you will, Tony, that you've got these three buckets. And the first bucket, we're going to call it our short-term needs. Uh-huh. And the second bucket, we're going to call our medium-term, that middle of the road. And then the third bucket, we're going to call our long-term. So what do we put in that first bucket? The first bucket is going to be immediate needs. I mean, money that we're going to need in retirement for the first few years.
Each and every month, that's money you need each and every month, especially for the first, say, 2 years, right?
Yep, absolutely. And then that second bucket, we are going to be a little more conservative with that second bucket. So we're looking at holdings, you know, that maybe are bonds, some conservative investment, you know, some of that middle of the road stuff. Because at some point in time, we're going to need to shift money from the bucket number two to bucket number one to continue to, you know, to meet the expenses of the household, that kind of thing. But that third bucket, that's our more aggressive bucket. That's our bucket that we're going to use to continue to grow our assets so that at some point in time, again, we're going to start pouring from bucket three to bucket two or bucket one, that kind of thing. So we are being conservative, but we're also balancing the portfolio in such a way that our money will last as long as we do and continues to work as hard as it should to support us in our retirement. So does that make sense?
Yes. No, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, you've mentioned the bucket approach before.
Yep.
And I like that because it makes it really easy to grasp and understand, because you can get deep in the weeds on the actual strategies and the math behind all of it. But if you think about buckets that are there to serve a specific time period, and money you might need in the near future is in one bucket, money for medium is another, and long-term money is in the high growth bucket with risk, right?
Well, it is. Well, because I think what happens oftentimes with retirees is they just turn on the income, not really knowing where it's coming from and how it's being affected by the market. For example, add insult to injury, if you're taking distribution or income from a bucket that has potential downturns in the market, that is not only is it being depleted due to market volatility, but it's being depleted because of your use in retirement, meeting the expenses of the household. So so those are some things that, you know, definitely need to be considered, and that's why we're here. I mean, as a financial professional, that is paramount as we approach retirement or in retirement, that we make certain that those buckets are organized in such a way that we can feel comfortable in retirement. So,
yeah. And I know that's exactly what you do. And that's why you need a financial professional, because so many people think, well, I'll just leave everything in the market in my 401k. I'll leave it all there. And then I'll just take out 4% a year and I'll be fine. Well, for most people, that's not going to work. That's an old rule of thumb that really doesn't work so well these days, especially if you're taking out money and you have a down year like 2022 or 2008, and you took out $50,000 out of that account to live on that year. It's going to take you a long time, and you're not dollar cost averaging your way in anymore because you're no longer working. So, yeah, you got to have that balance. I like the bucket approach, and a lot of people have. You know, I have a couple of those buckets, but you're wearing it on your head. You should be using it to keep your money in. Or it's got a leak in it. And you know what? You need to fix a leak in a bucket. You need maybe some epoxy or some putty. And I know who is going to be there. Putty Pilatus. That's a leak-proof Pilatus, right?
Well, and it is. And that's a conversation that we have with retirees, you know, at least on a quarterly basis, to make certain that we've balanced those buckets. So it's not just, you know, set it and forget it. It is one of those things that, you know, you want to look at. At least, I would say annually, at the very least, some retirees more often than that. So certainly that's what we're here for. Yeah. One of my favorites is one of the other strategies in retirement is taking a hobby and maybe turning it into a source of income. So, you know, we've got retirees that said, this is a hobby and I enjoy doing it. And maybe in retirement, we look at turning that into some type of potential earning for the future. One of those is real estate. Okay, I think for a lot of retirees look at that as something that they could do. Maybe it's a buy or fix it up, you know, buy a piece of property, fix it, flip it, those kinds of things. I don't enjoy that so much right now because I'm still working, but you know, when you've got time, that is one of those things that you want to, you may want to consider in retirement, is looking at, you know, another source of income. And it doesn't have to be burdensome. You know, it's it could be a piece of property that maybe you and the spouse would like to visit. So, sure. you know, Airbnbs have become a huge thing. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact,
everybody I know is when they go on vacation, it's Airbnb now.
Yeah. And so I think the popularity as far as purchasing those types of properties and you know, renting them out for that weekly. You know, we do one every year. In fact, next week is Pilatus Beach Week. We rent the same house. Yeah, we rent the same house in Newport Beach every year, have for the last 8 or 9 years.
Oh, yeah, in California.
California?
Right by where I used to live in Costa Mesa, right on the edge of Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, in fact, we actually looked at, you know, the potential of purchasing one of those properties, thought maybe that might be something we'd want to do, but I just, it's...
The price
is
crazy expensive real estate there. I mean, that is real estate there is, it's not, it's gone crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know. It would be, you know, as an investment, you think, well, this might be good, but wow, you'd have to...
Well, we really do well. Yeah, we've run the numbers. When I say we, my accountant and I, and you know, the numbers almost pencil out. You know where you get stuck with a piece of property like that is the property tax. That is the final number that kind of puts the nail in the coffin.
Everywhere now, property taxes have gotten so high everywhere that they're high where I live. I'll tell you that.
Well, and so that is again one of the strategies too in retirement is do we consider moving maybe to a less taxable area, you know, as far as property tax, maybe income tax, maybe we look at a place, a state that doesn't tax, you know, income. There are several of those, but do your homework, folks, when it comes to that, because you may discover that, hey, potentially, you know, on the, you know, just from a numbers perspective, it looks great, but then you find out, we don't like living here.
You got to live somewhere a while. You got to spend a month at least there. And do you still feel good about it? So many people I know move like, Florida. You know, everybody when they retire, they it's a retirement friendly state as far as taxes go. Let's move there. And then they're like, my property taxes are a little high here. I don't like bugs, alligators, and humidity. What am I doing here? And they end up moving back to where they're from. But there are tax advantageous states. I mean, I'm from one of the worst for retirees as far as tax advantageous. One of the worst is Minnesota. It's a great state with great people. I mean, I love Minnesota and I love the people there and it's a beautiful state. However, the state taxes are tough and they tax everything. They tax Social Security, you know, they tax your IRA withdrawals. Like Illinois, they don't have state tax on IRA withdrawals.
Nice.
Or retirement account. There's only a few states that do that, and that's a couple. Illinois. So, but you know, it depends on where you live in Illinois. They might make up for it, property taxes or sales tax. You never know.
Yeah, and that's why you need to do your homework. I mean, and the other thing is there's the whole issue with respect to family. I know that, for example, I don't like being away from my family. Same. I like to be close to my family. So wherever they're at, that's where I'm at. So those are some other considerations, you know, to make when looking at that. The other thing is downsizing. You know, when we raised the family, we had a bigger home, and maybe, you know, it might be a good idea to downsize, use some of that extra money to look at investing in, you know, in real estate or you know, some other investment vehicle forward. So those are some other things.
Those are a couple of great ideas to build wealth during retirement. I mean, going back to, you know, turn a hobby into a job or get a part-time job, people are like, well, I don't want to have to work in retirement. But right. You know what? It's not about needing to work. It's about choosing to, on your own terms, doing something you love. Like, hey, I love books. I love going to the library. Well, you could, you know, work there part-time or on a golf course as a starter, you know, if you're into golf. I mean, you can, there's ways, you know, a lot, it's a gig economy. They call it the gig economy.
Sure.
A lot of people have a side hustle or a gig, and you can maybe turn your hobby into making some money.
Well, if it's nothing more than just getting green fees comped, you know, working at the golf course just so I can go out and play around, you know. Yeah.
Be a starter at a golf course or some other thing, and then, you know, and then you get free rounds of golf at a nice country club. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, well, it's a huge financial savings.
Especially if you love golf. Unless, of course, you know, you retired to Florida and then you discovered what humidity is.
Yeah. And you realize there's a new hazard on the golf course. Anywhere there's a water hole, there are alligators.
Alligators, yes.
Yeah.
And recently I've read a couple of stories of people who have, you know, had run-ins with some of those gators.
I saw a story that a guy hit his golf ball and an alligator went up and snatched it and went back into the water hole. And he's like, that was just, there was an actual story. He couldn't believe it. And the other golfer said, yep, we saw it. He hit the ball. The alligator comes and grabs it and leaves. It's like, what?
So how does that go down on the scorecard? That's what I would like to know.
Yeah.
I think it's a free drop, personally.
It's a free drop.
That's a free drop.
No, you have to go into the water hazard and find the gator and wrestle him and get the ball back out. That's...
Well, we've all seen Happy Gilmore.
He lost the hand. Isn't that how he lost the hand?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what golfing in Florida can do for you. Yeah. No, we're just teasing Florida. But it is, I went down there and was walking, doing, one of my best buddies was house-sitting his daughter and her husband's house, and he invited me down to a really nice area, Sarasota, just beautiful. And they have their house is backs up to a little lake, a little pond. And, you know, they have a pool. It's all enclosed. But I took the day. He goes, I'll walk the dog so you don't have to, Tom. Right. He's older. And so I said, yeah. And he wasn't feeling great. So I go, I'll walk the dog. And I'm around back. I take it around back and there's nice grass, mowed grass strip around the lake. And I'm walking. And all of a sudden shoots up and chomps at the dog. I pulled the leash and this little dog just went flying away and I ran and looking back and an alligator had come right up on there and snapped. So I actually saw it wasn't a big one. I admit it was only like 4 feet or 5 feet, but that's not a huge alligator, but it's to somebody who from Minnesota, that's a big alligator. And Tom's like, what are you doing back there? Get out of there. You don't take the dog walking around the lake. And I'm like, I didn't know.
Well, so information that I gathered quickly, having had an office in Tallahassee, Florida for years and years, that gators love them some dog. They'll make a meal out of it. I guess it must taste like chicken. I don't know.
It's just like chicken.
Tastes just like chicken.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. So obviously, property investments, a side hustle.
Sure.
What's the next strategy?
Well, so let's just talk about some out of the box strategies, some wealth strategies. In that same article, there's five mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think we've talked about. Income generating is one of them. Here's one that's a little less conventional, a little more complicated, and probably more for our higher net worth clients. But the strategy is using variable universal life contracts or life insurance policies for tax-free income in retirement. You definitely want to work with an advisor who understands that. I mean, but the premise is simple. You know, you're going to build cash value in the policy, and then in retirement, you'll use that to supplement your income, and it's tax-free, meaning that you're going to take your income or your distributions in the form of loans. You know, and of course, Tony, you know we don't pay tax on borrowed money. So you're going to take this out in the form of loans. And the reason this is an important strategy, again, for higher net worth individuals, is that there's no limits. Like a 401k or an IRA, your Roth, those types of things, there's no limits to what you can put in there. But the downside is that you know, market volatility, again, is one of those things, but, you know, they can be expensive, you know, premium taxes, those kinds of things. So not for all investors, but that is one of the strategies, you know, that that for the right person we can look at, you know. So those are some things to consider is the downsides. Here's one that I think most people are not familiar with, and that is using your HSA, this is your health savings account, as a what we call a stealth IRA. That is to say is that you can put money, fund your HSA to the max, and then you can actually accumulate receipts for expenses related to your care in retirement. Use those receipts to take out tax-free distributions in the future. Great strategy. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like future pacing. It's like the ability to pull money out of those HSAs when you need them and to be able to get them out of there tax exempt. So something that I think you should consider in retirement. So those are one of the things that we look at is you know, funding that HSA. It doesn't seem like it makes sense while you're working, but when you're retired, it can be a real advantage. I mean, I've got clients who literally have tens of thousands of dollars sitting in their HSA.
Smart. Yeah. Well, it's the best. I know I've heard from a lot of great financial minds out there say the best account to have money in is an HSA. And people think, well, that's a health savings account.
Yeah.
And it has to be used for health. It is the only tax designation in the IRS code that has triple tax advantage. It goes in tax-free, so you get a tax break on the money you're putting in, so you don't have to pay taxes on that money that year. It grows tax-free in a growth account, just like an IRA or 401k. It grows tax-free. You got compounding interest, and it comes out tax-free. It's the only account like that. There's usually, if it goes in tax-free, you have to pay taxes when it comes out. Or in a lot of types of investments, we know we have to pay a tax on the interest. But with an HSA, you don't. And like you said, one of the tricks was you can save receipts and use money from your HSA to reimburse yourself for those old expenses at any point in the future, even decades later, and completely tax-free. Or you can use it on, well, why would I save it and leave it in there, not use it and leave it in there until I'm retired? The average individual is probably going to spend, after 65, $80,000 or $90,000 in healthcare expenses, out of pocket. And that's including, even with Medicare, you're going to spend that. So couples, it's well over $300,000 that most couples spend in out of pocket in healthcare. And that's not including long-term care. So there's going to be plenty to spend HSAs on in retirement.
Well, and you mentioned it. I mean, long-term care is probably nearing, if not exceeded, one of the greatest financial expenses that most retirees will have in their lifetime. So,
that's
a great,
bad.
You know, it's another one of those expenses that, again, reimburse yourself and do it, you know, tax exempt. So,
And there's a what about, I know that article mentioned this. I wanted to ask you about this. What do you think about this, Dave? Look beyond your 401k once you've captured the full match. So once I put in, as long as I'm putting in enough out of each paycheck to get my full match, instead of building that up and contributing more and more to that, Do you think it's a good idea to maybe put money into something else?
Well, certainly. I mean, so your employer, let's just say your employer is a 3% match or a 4% match. I mean, that's free money. So you put in $100 and they'll match that. But at some point in time, you're going to max that out. And that's when you want to start looking at alternatives that are going to benefit you again in retirement. And that might be, again, some of the strategies we've already talked about.
Sure.
You know, but, you know, brokerage account, you know, money there. Roth, if you've got room to go into the Roth. But look at alternative investments. I mean, it could be real estate. It could be you know, anything outside of your 401k. Because one of the other issues too is that keep in mind when you've got money in your 401k, how much control do you have?
Very little.
And so, you know, you're looking for places too that you can strategize where you still have control of those dollars. And if you've got extra dollars, you know. Those are places to go. I personally, you know, I'm a Roth guy. I love the Roth. I love the whole idea of it. And again, we talked a little bit about, you know, life insurance is an alternative. That's in a special case for people who have, you know, a certain income or wealth level. So,
sure.
So those are some of the things that to give consideration to.
Well, there's so many strategies that I know you've utilized, and it really depends on somebody's individual situation. But Dave, you help design specific personalized plans with personalized strategies, find what's in your client's best interest, what best suits that are going to help them reach their personal goals based on their time horizon.
Yeah.
And we all have different goals and time horizons.
Sure. Yeah,
right?
We do. And that's why, you know, every strategy is different depending on the individual. And so that is the conversation we have is we sit down and find out, you know, what the goal is, you know, where we want to be, what our income need is going to be in retirement. All of those are important things to have a discussion about. So, and I would encourage listeners, if you would, just pick up the phone, give us a call. We'd love to meet with you. There is absolutely no fee or cost for that consultation, and you're not obligated. So pick up the phone. Our phone number here at the office, 435-986-9222. Again, that's 435-986-9222. Go to the website. Tony, you've been to our website.
It's awesome.
Yeah, great stuff. ManagedWealthAdvantage.com. So that's managed with ED, WealthAdvantage.com. Go out there. I mean, we've got videos, we've got links, all kinds of information out there that you may find.
Pretty snazzy photo of Super Dave Pilatus on that site, so check that out.
Yeah, very attractive photo. It's amazing what they can do today with your technology.
Yeah.
Make us look better than we are.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been 41 years in radio, and then all of a sudden Dave says to me, hey, let's do maybe we should do a video podcast. I'm like, I don't know. That's why I went into radio. See? Yeah. Yeah. They say I have the perfect face for radio. And people who tell me that, I come back and I say, and you've got the perfect voice for print.
Yes.
That's what I like to say. I like to say that.
Yeah,
you have a good voice for radio, though.
Well, thank you, well, of course, obviously you do because that's how you make your living.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't so much make my living with my voice, but
you should.
You know, I used to. You know, when you listen to a recording of your voice, did that ever used to freak you out? It's like I don't sound like that.
It didn't, except when I was young. My first voice demo to get my first radio job, I was still a senior in high school, and I went to the local station. It's a pretty big station in our area. I grew up in a rural community, but the town was, you know, 12,000 people, but they had a 50,000 watt FM that covered huge area, right? And Mom said, go there and tell them you want to work there. You'll do anything. Clean waste baskets if you want, because I wanted to be a radio announcer. That's what I wanted to do.
Right.
Wanted to be a DJ. So my mom told me when I was young, go to the radio station. Well, they're not going to hire me. Tell them you're willing to do anything. I did. She said, go talk to this guy. I know this guy there at the station. Ask him if they're hiring. And I said, I'll do anything. I'll empty waste baskets. You know, do you need somebody, you know, copy boy to run around? Or, you know, I'm editor of my school newspaper. I'll do editing. And he goes, well, we need an overnight announcer full time. Set in the studio. I'm going to put up a reel. And by then it was a reel of tape, a reel to reel tape recorder. He hit record, handed me the Minnesota Globe, the Daily Globe newspaper from that morning. And he said, start reading. Stories, read the headline and then just read the stories and then just keep going, read a couple paragraphs of each story and then just keep reading and I'll come back and just keep doing that until I come back. Well, I'm in there like 20 minutes reading into this thing. And I thought I might have did okay. I don't know. You know, this is weird. And sure. then I got hired. I got the job. And turns out there was a guy at the college who was working for the public radio affiliate and was going to school for broadcasting at the community college in town, and who had also applied. And I found out I beat him out for the job, which I made me feel even better. But nice. Years later, I went back and I found that tape because they gave it to me on a cassette tape. Unlistenable, like terrible. Like I'm like, they did not hire me from this. This is crazy. So I'm like, my mom must have, I don't know if my parents paid them to hire me or what, but they hired me. And then
isn't it perspective though, too, is based on where your voice is and where you are today and where you were then, I think,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
because, you know, I was raised in a farming community.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I hear myself twang. If
uh-oh.
I can use it.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
yeah.
I mean? Yeah. You go, oh, sure. that's Idaho right there. That's
rural Idaho.
And there's, yeah.
That's
and there's
Idaho.
nothing wrong with having that every once in a while, but yeah. So, but you know, I didn't know if you know this about me, Tony, but my voicemail, for my recording for my voicemail, you know that I do that every morning.
You do a new one each day.
Every day.
I did know that you did a new one each day, which I
every day.
I have the same voicemail recording I've had for years.
Well, and I'll tell you why I started to do it, and we can share this with the listeners, is that I wanted them to know that I knew that day I would have had to have listened to their voicemail if they left me a message, because I changed it every day. And so what that did is it had me get proactive with respect to making certain I returned a phone call before the following day. So every day my voicemail says, you've reached the voicemail for David Pilatus. Today is Monday, August 17th.
Yeah,
yes.
You give the date.
Yes.
That's a brave thing to do on a voicemail.
It is. It is. But it's accountability. It
yeah.
really is. And that's what I want our listeners to know, too, is that, you know, we are accountable for everything that we do. We are so pleased to be able to work with you. We're happy to work with you. We'll do whatever we can to make your life easier, answer your questions, and again, without being obligated to anything other than let's just meet and talk and see if we can't be of service to one another. But
yeah, there's no cost or obligation to have that initial consultation. You can ask questions, get a second opinion, see if you're compatible or if there's anything you can do to help them. I think that's fantastic. And I know you love hearing from our listeners and from
I do.
And talking.
I do.
Folks.
I do.
Yeah.
So give us a call again, 435-986-9222. Again, 435-986-9222. Tony, great show. Appreciate you being on here with me. We will talk next week. And that does it for another episode of The Financial Home Stretch with, again, myself, David Pilatus, your host, and Tony Shore, my co-host. Thanks, Tony.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you for joining us for Financial Home Stretch. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact David Pilatus at Senior Advantage at 435-986-9222 or visit ManageWealthAdvantage.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Financial Home Stretch.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.